It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome aboard. The winds of change are blowing today. That will spell an end to the stifling heat, but it will come with a price. Destructive thunderstorms are roaming the region. They could wreak havoc this afternoon.
Any thunderstorm can, on a localized basis, produce drenching downpours, gusty winds, and hail.
Meteorologist Kevin Williams has some snap, crackle, and pop in his forecast today. Local utility crews are ready to respond to power outages caused by these storms. Officials say this weather front has the potential to cause widespread outages across much of New York and Pennsylvania. There are severe thunderstorm warnings in effect right now for Cayuga and Onondaga counties in central New York. Meantime, out west, it's the hot that just won't stop.
It's so hot, I feel like I could barely go outside.
It's nice to get out when it's this hot because inside it's like an oven.
I'm planning on going in the house and staying under the air conditioner.
The historic heat wave that's roasting the Pacific Northwest has claimed more than a dozen lives.
Days of triple-digit temperatures have caused roads to crack and pavement to pop loose across the Pacific Northwest. The number of people trying to stay cool is also straining the power grid. In Spokane, Washington, where the temperature reached 109 degrees, a utility company warned of rolling blackouts due to the increased demand.
It's already bad enough not having air conditioning, but to have no power at all in this heat is dangerous.
That report from correspondent Lilia Luciano. The search for survivors in Florida's condo collapse has stretched into a seventh day now. Rescuers have removed 3 million pounds of concrete and recovered four more bodies, bringing the official death toll to 16. 147 others remain missing. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
When somebody's missing in action in the military, you're missing until you're found. And we don't stop the search.
We're dedicated to get everyone out of that pile of rubble and reunite them with their families.
That is the mayor of Surfside, Charles Burkett. President Biden will be there tomorrow, meeting with first responders and victims' families. Just days after Vice President Kamala Harris toured the southern border, former President Donald Trump is there today. He's in McAllen, Texas, the epicenter of America's immigration crisis.
The goal is to show the stark comparison between what President Trump was doing and what President Biden is doing.
Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
We've got to stop people coming across the border. When Kamala Harris was here, she talked about the root cause. The root cause of the problem is she and the president of not stopping people coming across the border.
Trump is in Texas to help drum up support for Governor Greg Abbott's border wall. People in L.A. covering their faces again today. Correspondent Steve Futterman.
It's mask up again. Officials here in L.A. advising people to cover their faces in all public indoor spaces, even if they've been vaccinated. It comes as the highly contagious Delta COVID variant spreads throughout California.
Disease expert Andrew Norman recalls giving advice on masks just a few weeks ago.
Don't put them in the trash. Put them in a drawer because we might need them later. I never expected the later would be before July 1st.
And don't look now, but there's another virus variant that's got health officials' attention. Dr. Dale Bratzler at the University of Oklahoma.
And it's even more contagious than the current Delta variant that we're dealing with.
The Delta Plus variant is what they're calling it, and it's spreading in several countries, including the UK and India. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
Here in the United States, we're fortunate. We have three vaccines that we know are safe and effective. We have two-thirds of the adult population that is fully vaccinated and really quite protected from the variants that we have circulating here in the United States.
200 cases of this new Delta Plus variant have been reported in the U.S. Texas Senator Ted Cruz says Democrats' efforts to switch the narrative on America's crime crisis is, in a word, laughable.
For them to run out and claim that it's Republicans who want to defund the police, that's like an arsonist showing up at the fire and blaming the firemen. That's like the Chinese blaming the Americans for the Wuhan virus. That's like OJ saying he's going to help find the real killer. That's like Democrats saying they're the ones that want to build the wall.
This week, the White House accused Republicans of trying to defund the police by their refusal to support the American Rescue Bill. Lawmakers in the U.S. House will be voting today on creating a committee to investigate the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol. That committee is being handpicked by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The U.S. House yesterday passed a bill to ban the display of Confederate statues in the Capitol Rotunda. Majority Whip James Clyburn.
What we should do today is relegate these statues to the dustbin of history.
The effort rids from public view busts of Confederate leaders like John Calhoun and Jefferson Davis.
Monuments to men who advocated cruelty and barbarism to achieve such a plainly racist end or a grotesque affront.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
The bill we're voting on today, we voted before. And I supported it. I support it now. But let me state a simple fact. All the statues being removed by this bill are statues of Democrats.
The monument ban measure now heads to the U.S. Senate. U.S. Olympian Gwen Berry defending her decision to protest the national anthem.
If you know your history, you know the full song of the national anthem. The third paragraph speaks to slaves in America, our blood being slain and pilchered all over the floor. It's disrespectful and it does not speak for Black Americans.
The hammer thrower turned away from the Stars and Stripes while the Star Spangled Banner was playing at the Olympic trials last weekend. Now, some in Congress are calling for Barry to be kicked off the team. Meghan McCain with the TV talk show The View.
For some of us, I will die for this. I will die on this hill that it is not appropriate or patriotic to go to a foreign country where you're supposed to be representing America and act like it's just about you. It's not about you. It's about all of us.
Gwen Berry was recently endorsed by the far-left group Color of Change, which is on record supporting the defund the police movement. The NCAA votes today to suspend amateurism rules and let college athletes sign big endorsement deals. Sports analyst Gary Parrish.
We're going to have quarterbacks and point guards and pitchers making thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Iowa point guard Jordan Bohannon ready to launch a new clothing line as soon as the NCAA gives the okay.
Once you understand the background of the whole industry of what the NCAA is and what they stand for, you truly realize how much money is out there and how much money is being closed behind doors and being taken away from these athletes.
Starting the 1st of July, college athletes in Pennsylvania will be allowed to sign endorsement deals and profit off their name, image, or likeness. Serena Williams is out at Wimbledon. The 39-year-old forced to concede after her knee buckled in an opening round match.
Oh! No, 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 no. Oh, my goodness.
Williams was going for a record 24th Grand Slam title. She hasn't won one since 2017. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Wednesday. Dems meet to discuss Cuomo impeachment. Wolf vetoes voter ID and pools close due to lifeguard shortage.
Well, good afternoon to all. Tracking thunderstorms and showers once again this afternoon. Forecast details coming up. See you in 10 minutes.
All right, we'll stay skywise, as Kevin likes to say. Thank you very much, sir. And we're checking the headlines next from New York and Pennsylvania. Big news out of Pennsylvania this morning. Governor Tom Wolf has just vetoed the Voting Rights Protection Act. The GOP measure would have required voters show ID before they cast ballots in elections. A recent Franklin and Marshall College poll shows 74% of Pennsylvanians support some type of voter ID. Assembly Democrats in New York may issue subpoenas as they continue their impeachment probe into Governor Cuomo.
The Judiciary Committee is meeting for the fourth time, with one politician telling the New York Post there are people with info who don't want to give it up. The investigation is proceeding along three tracks now. It's looking at sexual harassment allegations against the governor, claims that he undercounted COVID-19 nursing home deaths, and that he misused state employees to help him write his COVID leadership book. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Syracuse University is investigating allegations of inappropriate behavior and bullying by women's head basketball coach Quentin Hillsman. He's accused of threatening players, making unwanted advances toward players, and hiring a longtime friend that had been accused of sexual harassment. The Monroe County, New York District Attorney meeting today with federal officials. They're discussing the surge of gun violence in the Flower City. Cops are concerned that New York's controversial bail reform law may be contributing to the spike in crime.
It's a revolving door. You keep arresting the same people over and over again. The people that are committing the crimes know this is the case. They know they won't spend any time in jail, so there's really no deterrent to committing crime.
Former Greece, New York Police Chief Patrick Phelan is lobbying state lawmakers to give judges the power to keep in custody violent criminals. Pennsylvania has given at least one dose of the COVID vaccine to 63% of its total population, and that's the seventh best percentage rate in the country. Starting tomorrow, the minimum wage for fast food workers in New York will be going up to $15 an hour. Advocates argue that's long overdue.
The majority of workers are actually leaving this industry or have already left because the wages just aren't enough.
But the critics say this wage hike will cost customers where it hurts, in the wallet.
During this COVID crisis, we had a processing problem throughout the country. You can see when you go in the grocery stores or go out to a restaurant, the price for different types of foods has increased dramatically because of that.
The fast food minimum wage hike affects establishments with 30 or more locations. Even though his district is closer to the northern border, Western New York Congressman Chris Jacobs is traveling to the southern border today. Jacobs is riding along with former President Donald Trump to South Texas today. Drivers who can't afford to pay traffic tickets in New York no longer have to worry about their license being suspended. That story new at noon from Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, that's right. Hundreds of thousands of New York drivers are now on track to get their licenses reinstated under a new law that ends the practice of suspending a person's license when they can't pay a traffic fine. Between January of 2016 and April of 2018, the state issued nearly 1.7 million driver's license suspensions for non-payment of traffic fines and non-appearance at traffic hearings. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. The first heat wave of summer has a lot of folks flocking to the pool, but in Niagara Falls, New York, all the public pools are closed due to staffing problems. They just cannot find enough lifeguards. That's not the news this mom wanted to hear.
We're sweating to death right now, and there are only a few ways for us to cool off as residents.
Niagara Falls Councilman Bill Kennedy hopes money from the American Rescue Plan will go toward reopening pools.
Even if it's just for a couple months, allocate some money for a few lifeguards and for these pools to open up so the public has somewhere to go and cool off.
Communities all across New York and Pennsylvania are reeling from a lifeguard shortage this summer. A huge pro-life rally is being planned this fall in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has that story.
The first ever Pennsylvania March for Life comes to Harrisburg on Monday, September 27th. The 11 a.m. rally will start on the front steps of the state capitol. It's sponsored by the Pennsylvania Family Institute. President Michael Gear hopes the march sends a message to elected officials that all life must be protected. You can find out more at PAMarchForLife.org. Brennan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, sir. Sports next. It's the two-minute drill. Here's Sonny Delphia.
Yeah, they said Atlanta did not have a chance without their star, Trae Young, but that's why they play the game. Lou Williams scored 21 points in this place. The Hawks destroy the Bucks 110-88. Game four of the Eastern Conference Finals in Atlanta. Meanwhile, the Bucks have a major injury concern. Giannis Antetokounmpo injured with a gruesome hyperextended knee. His head coach, Mike Budenholzer.
Before the injury, after the injury, credit to Atlanta how they play tonight.
The series is tied at two games apiece. Tonight, the Suns will try again to eliminate the Clippers with a 3-2 series lead. Major League Baseball, and it was showtime in the Bronx, as in Shohei Ohtani.
That one's hit well. And that one's gone again! He did it again!
His two homers gave the Japanese star a major league leading 28 homers on the year. Not enough. The Yankees pound the Angels 11-5, snapping their four-game losing streak. Speaking of homers.
And the pitch to Schwarber, and he tees off on the very first pitch and hits it out.
Washington's Kyle Schwarber hit his 12th homer in 10 games to pace the Nationals to a 4-3 win against the Rays in D.C. James McCann homered. The Mets beat the Braves 4-3 in Atlanta. The Mets have a three-game lead in the National League East in Buffalo.
In baseball with 32 this year. That is torched and off the foul pole.
Marcus Semien homered and drove in five. Blue Jays with a 9-3 win against the Mariners. Across the pond in Wimbledon, Serena Williams' quest to tie Margaret Court's record for major championships by a woman ended abruptly. The 23-time Grand Slam winner forced to withdraw with a right leg injury. Williams slipped while up 3-1 in the first set. Later today, Americans Lauren Davis and Madison Keys play each other. Buffalo's Jessica Pegula plays at one, as does Venus Williams. Sloane Stephens battles American Christiane. Sophia Kennan plays fellow American Madison Bringle. Shelby Rogers and Daniel Collins have games later. On the American men's side, John Isner upset in five sets. Sam Querrey and Marcus Giron advance, and Francis Tiafoe plays later. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiet.
How does he handle all those names? Thank you very much, sir. And still to come on the Noon Report, Trump at the border, death toll rising in South Florida, and masks back on in California.
Diversity in and of itself isn't a real goal. It descends into chaos. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Just like his Democratic predecessor, whose administration he was a part of, President Biden has prioritized LGBTQ rights in both the domestic and foreign policies of the United States. The administration's priorities were made most obvious back in early June when an enormous rainbow flag was hung outside the U.S. Embassy to the Vatican. While trolling the Roman Catholic Church like this isn't typically a diplomatic priority, officials made their intentions with this action clear. By tweeting this, the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See celebrates Pride Month with the Pride flag on display during the month of June. The United States respects the dignity and equality of LGBTQI+ people. End quote. Now, as we all know, the number of letters in that acronym just continues to grow and grow. But that shouldn't be confused with a unified movement. These are movements. Plural, all made possible by what sociologist Peter Berger has called modern man's perpetual identity crisis. And these movements, based on fluid categories of sexual and gender identity, are increasingly themselves suffering identity crises. A week after the embassy to the Vatican flew the flag of virtue signaling, the gay news site Them announced that there was a new pride flag, one that was being updated in order to be even more inclusive. The new design features a purple circle on a yellow triangle in order to include intersex people, that's the I, pink and blue chevrons to represent transgender people, that's the T, brown and black chevrons for LGBTQI+ people of color, and white chevrons for asexual individuals. All of this overlaid on the original rainbow to form the new tincture-violating progress pride flag. Given all here that's interfering with the unity of these movements, a booklet provided by the Leicester Fire Brigade in the UK, well, that might be the best way forward. The booklet was filled with flags, over 300 of them, 20 pages worth, in fact, each one representing an individual particular gender or sexual identity. The booklet has since been deleted on their site for not accurately representing the firehouse's, and I quote, ongoing commitment to the LGBT+ community. This overall flag problem reflects an ever-growing jumble of contradictory claims about sex and gender and psychology. There's no end here to be found, and I mean that in two ways. First, the plus sign at the end of the ever-growing acronym is an open invitation to ever more identities with no end in sight. Second, a movement built on deconstructing what came before it has no end in the sense of it has no telos. In other words, there's no clear or unifying purpose or a goal to which these movements or the people taken captive by these movements aspire. This provides both challenge and opportunity for Christians who have a more compelling vision of human value, human dignity, and even diversity on offer. In fact, the Progress Pride flag and its acronym are in many ways simply a poor parody of the unity and the diversity central within the biblical story. The fact is, any and all attempts at inclusion without having a larger context of a unifying shared humanity will lead us to incoherence. However, the incoherence is an opportunity for Christians who offer a better vision for human purpose, human value, the gendered bodies that humans are given, and even our sexuality. In a culture running out of colors and out of letters, this is a vision that's badly for the Colson Center. I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
We got some snap, crackle, and pop in that forecast today, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. We stay warm and muggy this afternoon. Generally, though, not as hot as it was yesterday. We'll find variably cloudy skies, sun intervals, some showers, and locally strong thunderstorms in the area into the evening hours. High temperatures mainly 80s, low 90s in eastern Pennsylvania. A few leftover showers and rumbles later tonight and tomorrow as we cool down a bit. Dropping into the 60s overnight tonight, 70s and near 80 tomorrow. Friday's rather cloudy with a few showers and high temperatures in the upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, thank you very much. We should mention there is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect right now for Onondaga and Cayuga counties in central New York. Here's what's happening this Wednesday afternoon, the 30th of June. President Biden will take a tour tomorrow of the collapsed condominium in Surfside, Florida. It is the third largest building failure in this country's history. The president will be meeting with victims' families and first responders who are still searching for survivors. Nearly a week after the disaster, the death toll was revised today to 16. 147 others remain missing. Structural engineers are now combing through that wreckage to find out what happened.
Could have been a number of things that alone wouldn't have caused the problem, but together with the trigger caused the problem. This is a puzzle, and we have to figure out how to put all the pieces together.
The building inspector who deemed that high-rise safe 3 years ago is now looking for a new job. At least a dozen deaths blamed on the unprecedented heat wave in the Pacific Northwest. Correspondent Michael Kastner.
Amid days of triple-digit temperatures in a region unaccustomed to that kind of heat, a farm worker died south of Portland, Oregon. In Bremerton, Washington, at least four people died from heat-related causes as temperatures soared to 110. Things are even worse in Canada, where there were at least 130 sudden deaths in British Columbia as the heat stretched north to even the Yukon and Northwest territories.
Former President Trump at the southern border today. He's in South Texas helping drum up support for Governor Greg Abbott's border wall. Trump not mincing any words about what he thinks of the Biden border policy.
Well, it's catastrophic. If you look at the border, if you look at the way other countries are treating us, they treat us like dirt.
Trump and Abbott will be near McAllen, Texas, where illegal border crossings are most rampant. New COVID concerns are reigniting the mask debate. As outbreaks of the highly contagious Delta variant spread, health officials in Los Angeles are reinstating masks. That recommendation, though, not being well received in some circles.
I think it should be your choice if you want to wear a mask or not.
L.A. County urging everyone to keep wearing masks inside public places, whether they're vaccinated or not.
You should just bring your mask with you and keep safe.
Public officials concerned about a COVID comeback as Americans congregate over the busy 4th of July holiday. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
Those masking policies are not to protect the vaccinated. They're to protect the unvaccinated.
Walensky says there are parts of this country, mostly rural regions, where only about a third of the population has been vaccinated. Republican Congressman Mike McCaul is convinced the COVID outbreak started in a lab in communist China. He claims that regime is trying to cover it up.
They detained the doctors in order to silence them. They disappeared journalists. They destroyed lab samples. They hid the fact that there was clear evidence of human-to-human transmission.
McCaul says there's evidence to suggest the pandemic started way earlier than what's being reported. The U.S. Supreme Court plans to announce its remaining opinions for the summer, starting tomorrow.
The biggest cases remaining to be announced are over Arizona's voter laws and California requiring nonprofits to disclose their donors.
Brian Shook reporting again, we should get both those rulings tomorrow. Yesterday, the justices ruled in favor of a CDC-imposed pause on evictions. That will remain in place until the end of July.
The 5-4 decision tossed out an emergency request from a group of landlords asking the court to end the moratorium.
Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh joined the court's three liberal justices to allow the stay to remain intact.
Correspondent Mark Mayfield. It's 25 past the hour, and next at noon, it's another edition of Inside Out with Martha Menikas Foster. Today, she's talking with author and speaker Lisa Anderson, a focus on the family, about the job market for recent college graduates.
Lisa, is the economy getting more favorable now that the pandemic is kind of winding down?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, still a little shaky because we're off of well over a year of the pandemic. So it's kind of tricky, especially for the college graduate who, you know, maybe is assumptive that, oh, I'm going to get this great position and be able to just start out. Well, yeah, there are jobs out there, so that's encouraging, but you have to be creative in going after them.
Mm-hmm. Well, to jump right in, are the best strategies for getting a job any different now than they were for a graduate's parents when, you know, the parents were first trying to get their first jobs out of college?
Yeah, there definitely is, and things have definitely changed. You're having to be much more digitally savvy these days. So it's no longer just, I have a degree, I now have a diploma, give me a job. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you're really having to sell yourself a lot more creatively.
Mm-hmm. And younger millennials and Gen Zers, is there something that in general that they bring? Is there anything that kind of marks them that can be a benefit or maybe a detriment?
I would say absolutely. You know, they kind of get a bad rap. And so we have to think of them in terms of just a different way of doing things. So, for example, I hire a lot of millennials. And yes, okay, a detriment to where they're coming from is they're so used to being flexible in all things that they're going to be prone to hit up the job market or apply for a job. And the first questions they want to ask are, so do you have flexible schedules? Can I work remotely? Can I take my laptop and go up on the ski slopes and maybe do some work there? So millennials have to adjust their expectations in that space. That said, millennials and now Gen Z are extremely scrappy and hungry. They've got a lot of great skills. They are quick learners. They are hopeful. They really are well-rounded in the way they're approaching jobs.
I was listening to your podcast on this topic, and the idea of you showing, you as the person who's looking for a job, showing how you might make this person who's interviewing you job easier.
Exactly.
It sounded like it was very appealing to the people you had on your podcast, as well as being a hopeful person rather than someone who comes in and says, oh, my last employer, that was terrible, you know.
Absolutely. Those are my top two pieces of advice for younger folks who are trying to break in. It's just you sell yourself as someone who is a problem solver. So you tell this hiring manager how you're going to make their life easier. That's great. And then the second piece of advice is just, does this person want to do lunch with you? They should, because they're going to spend a lot of time with you. So you want to be that friendly team player who is outgoing, who is willing to pitch in, who's just a great person to be around.
Now, Lisa, are there strategies that you suggest for young adults that have no experience? And a second question, are your suggestions any different if the job seeker follows Jesus?
So two things. First of all, and this actually the younger adults do well. So boomers and Xers, you know, get in on this. Take every single assessment that's out there. So if you haven't already done the Myers-Briggs, the StrengthsFinder, the DISC test, you need to figure out what are you not only good at, like have an aptitude for, but what is your personality fit? What do you have the skills for? And then what are the positions that actually fit that? The other thing that people vastly overlook is the power of the informational interview. This is especially great for younger adults who don't have a lot of connections. So what do I mean by that? I am saying you are going to find people, people at your church, your neighbors, your parents' friends, and you are going to ask them for 30 minutes of their time to take them out for a cup of coffee and pick their brain. And you're going to ask them, what career field are you in? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? How did you break into it? Have you found that you've grown in different skills as a result of being in it? Mm-hmm. And it is so no pressure for that person. You're not saying, please give me a job or introduce me to all your VPs. You're just saying, I want some info. But these people know people who know people who know people, and you get on their radar, and you never know where some opening may come up, and they may think, hey, remember that girl who took me out for coffee, that daughter of Don and Kathy from my small group at church? That makes a big difference. And again, you know, I'm thinking when you're talking about specifically those younger people and others of faith, you know, I think of like Disney and other folks out there, the service industry, they are looking at college Christian groups like CRU and InterVarsity to hire from because they know that these are kids with integrity, mm-hmm. with a work ethic, with folks who are going to be positive and contribute. And so absolutely lead with that and trust God in the process and know that he's going to land you where he wants to get you because he is ultimately in control.
That is Lisa Anderson with Focus on the Family talking to our own Martha Menikas Foster about the job market for the recently graduated. This is Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Another unsettled day is ahead of us with heat, humidity, and some thunderstorms and showers ahead of a cold front that's going to drop our temperatures over the course of the next several days. But we stay warm and muggy this afternoon. Generally, though, not as hot as it was yesterday. We'll find variably cloudy skies, sun intervals, some showers, and locally strong thunderstorms in the area into the evening hours, meaning that any thunderstorm can, on a localized basis, produce drenching downpours, gusty winds, and hail. High temperatures mainly 80s, low 90s in eastern Pennsylvania. A few leftover showers and rumbles later tonight and tomorrow as we cool down a bit, dropping into the 60s overnight tonight, 70s and near 80 tomorrow. Friday's rather cloudy with a few showers and high temperatures in the upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, we'll keep our eyes on the sky today for sure. Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, that flying car promised us on the Jetsons. Well, it may not be that far off in the future.
Meet George Jetson.
Yeah, check this out. A car slash airplane called Air Car flew for 35 minutes yesterday between two cities in Slovakia. When it landed, it took less than 3 minutes to transform back into a car, which was then driven through a nearby village. Air Car can fly at an altitude of 8,200 feet for about 600 miles on a full tank of gasoline. With one click of a button, the car's wings fold up when it's not in flight. The vehicle's designer has been working on this hybrid aircraft for about 30 years in hopes to begin mass production in the not-too-distant future. Flying cars right around the corner, folks. That's the world we live in. Wednesday, the last day of June. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.